Welcome back to the pod. It's me, Rye. How are you guys? You look great today. Hey, heads up. I will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, August 31st at the Rex Theater. You can get tickets in the bio of this podcast description. And then right after Rex Theater, I'm going to Youngstown, Ohio, September 1st at the Comedy Cellar at Mojo's. Once again, get your tickets in the link that's posted in the bio of this podcast. I got a teaser for you. I just booked a date at the Hollywood Improv for me and Brandon to do a live I'm Sorry Dad podcast. This is just a tease. I'm not going to let you know the date yet. One reason, because I still got to talk to Brandon about it. And just like talk him down from a ledge of like, what are we going to do? What do we talk about? Don't worry, I'll handle him. Just know that there's going to be a live I'm Sorry Dad podcast at the Hollywood Improv in early October. So get ready for when we drop those deets, baby. Don't forget, we are back on YouTube. That's youtube.com/I'm Sorry Dad. Come see how cute we are. We are on Spotify, Google Play, all that good stuff. We have a Patreon page where we're posting weekly bonus content. Our number one thing is pod vlogs. We're posting weekly vlogs, and I have plans for Patreon. So get on board. That's just a minimum of $5 a month. That's about a coffee a month to support our dreams and get some free quality content. But let's get to this episode, shall we? Today was a great one. I was a little bit nervous because I've been a fan of this guy since I was just a wee little boy. Probably like 14 or 15. I've been a fan of him since I was awkwardly just praying to go through puberty, just looking down at my pubes saying, come on, guys. I was a late bloomer in high school. What I'm trying to say is Jamie Kennedy helped me through my prepubescent awkward phase. I'm still trying to learn how to talk. That has still not come to me. Maybe Jamie can help. But yes, our guest today is Jamie Kennedy. You know him from Malibu's Most Wanted, the Jamie Kennedy Experiment. He was in Scream 1 and 2. He's just a great actor, a really funny comedian, and a really good guy. And it was great to have him on because I became closer with him. And I might go on the road with him. We set up a deal on this podcast. It's official. I might open for Jamie Kennedy sometime in the future. What an announcement! All right. Without further ado, enjoy this episode with Jamie Kennedy. Circle, circle, dot, dot. I got my cootie shot. You think that girl... Welcome to this very special air-conditioned episode of I'm Sorry Dad podcast.
Yes.
Today we have on a dude that it's kind of a trip to have you in my apartment right now. Or I should say in the studio. Because I've been a fan of yours for years.
Really?
And it's very Hollywood of you. You're wearing sunglasses inside with a baseball cap. This isn't TMZ, dude. You're in the privacy of I'm Sorry Dad Studios.
Sorry, I was bright.
We got Jamie Kennedy on the pod today.
What's up, baby?
What's up, dude?
What's up, baby?
It's too far away, but
what's up? What's up, baby?
We were just listening to Circle, Circle, Dot, Dot.
No.
Cutie Shot, yeah.
You got my... Because it was on the playlist or you were prepping yourself?
It's what I wake up to every morning.
It's an alarm.
That. No, we were prepping. Oliver, our producer, his first ever post on MySpace was that music video.
No.
That's true. That was the first video that I put up. Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. This is getting more deep than I realized. Wait. How old were you?
I was 13, I think.
13. And so you did you do a... Wait a minute. Did you do a response video?
No. I just put the URL.
Oh, the URL. Okay, yeah. Good.
Just to share.
Because back in the day, before all this stuff started... people would do videos and you would do a song. And then if they did a response to your song, like, then they would be like, oh my God, your song's getting traction. No, it didn't happen. My song was one of the first songs that people would like do that because it came around when YouTube came out. You know what I'm saying?
2006?
So yeah.
Ooh.
2006-ish. YouTube was 2005-ish.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's insane.
Yeah, you.
Insane.
It's got over 18 million views. I saw.
It did. Yeah, it took well.
And then we watched your Jimmy Kimmel appearance.
Oh, with that.
Yeah.
It was funny. Was that?
It was good.
It could have worked. The rap album could have worked.
But it didn't.
I think we sold about 38,000 copies.
All right.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. You were like a before Lonely Island.
Yes. A lot of things I've done is like before.
Yeah.
I'm a little premature.
Hey, are we all in the bedroom?
Yes.
Okay.
And I rewatched your documentary, Heckler. That's before its time.
I think that was before. Thank you.
You should do it again. Any interest in doing that again?
People have talked to me about it, but I don't know what I'd have to do. I'd have to figure out what the angle is.
Yeah, I watched that when it first came out.
Online comments, maybe.
And then Twitter and all that shit. And you, how did you get footage for that? So I was almost wondering, like, did you stage any hecklers? I'm sure you didn't, but it was like, some of the footage you got was like so perfect.
No, there's stuff around there that is like tableaus to show you, like the people throwing the salt shakers and stuff. That was like, you know, showing the what it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the people are real. I mean, but like all the interviews are real, stuff like that. But like certain stuff like that, people didn't throw a salt shaker at me. That was like worked.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But okay. But to show how people are. But people do at that club did boo me one time. I mean, we would just get people and we would interview them, and we had no shortage of people that really wanted to tell you how much you suck.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It came because I was doing, I was getting ready for my first special, and I had my director, and we were going to different clubs, and he was filming me, and I'd fly him everywhere. And we would get heckled, like, almost every show. Not really heckled, but people that would talk.
Right.
And, it's different, you know? Like, when you do your shows, like, at the lab and stuff, they're so professional. They're put together.
Right.
It's, one of the top clubs in the country. I mean, I was playing, like, Dayton, and no diss to Dayton or different stuff, but you would go out and try your stuff, and people get a little rowdy.
Yeah.
And they would say stuff. So we would film it, and then we would start stringing the stuff together. I'm like, Jesus, this shit is funnier than my act. And like I would put them together, and then the next thing I had like 12 minutes of just heckles. I was fascinated by it. So then I went and I started interviewing people why they heckled, and then me and my friend were like, we gotta make this documentary. And it was really getting into the mind of why people do what they do.
And you interviewed two like asshole college kids.
What? Yes.
Can you actually play part of that clip?
Yes.
You're backstage talking to these two douchebags.
You have some criticism about Jamie's show. Go ahead.
These guys.
Where did you start with that? I mean, that was embarrassing to say the least.
How was it embarrassing?
It's kind of hard to watch that. That kind of crash and burn.
What do you do?
I'm an assistant to someone that has a lot of kids.
So you're a babysitter?
Yeah, kind
of. What do you know about comedy, babysitter?
I like things to be funny, I mean.
Okay, what makes you laugh? Fucking baby farts?
I would have rather heard that than your show, but I would have rather sat through a Creed concert than that.
You have fucking balls of...
So weird how...
Sorry, but I mean, what's... I mean, when you see someone just fucking up and ruining everything, and you pay money to see it, don't you want to kind of say, what the fuck are you doing?
Can't you have, like, any... constructive criticism?
Do you want me to tell you different jokes?
No. Why are you giving me your opinion? Because you want me to get better, or you just want to feel like, yeah, fuck you?
I want you to get better. I mean,
why? You don't care about me.
Because you're on TV, and this is my chance. I can say, Jamie, stop
chance.
Telling shitty jokes.
What the fuck are you laughing at?
I'm fucking guy, what are you fighting?
I don't know. What the fuck is so funny with you?
It's funny. I don't know what the fuck happened between you two, but...
Oh, yeah, classic. The opener was funny.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So,
man, I remember that.
Dude.
What was that like talking to those dudes?
Oh, God, that was like 12 years ago. I don't know. It was our director found them, and he put them, like, in the room, and I came back, and it was like a sniper attack.
Yeah.
And, so bizarre. But, like, you know, I sat down, and they started... I mean, those guys are fucking brutal, but they're funny.
Yeah.
You know, looking at that, they really had some fucking good jabs.
Yeah.
But no, I was like, who the fuck are you? Like, what the fuck is...
Yeah.
Why are you coming at me? And I got used to it. I got used to it when I was talking to people of why...
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, man. Like, think about this. I don't know how you guys are different ages than me, but you might be more used to it. But that, like, at the time, was very shocking. Still shocking.
What was?
I think to hear that in person, that's bizarre and shocking.
You mean the criticism was shocking?
Not that they're criticizing, it's okay, but they're that bold. I don't know how to say that because that sounds like egotistical. But what I'm saying is that now to me is the norm. Where it wasn't back then, it was like, yo, what's up? Like, you know, they're giving me a live action Yelp, right here. But I mean, we were making a movie, so they, you know, they probably went for it. But
yeah,
the thing is like, I feel now like, you know, Patton Oswalt had one of the greatest quotes in the movie, probably the greatest quote, where he said, you know, people used to love to watch a Gale Sayers run or a Marlon Brando act. And he's like, now it just makes people angry. And I think with the why Hollywood is being, it's going away, and because everyone can get in, and
oh yeah,
and there's zero barrier to entry, which is good, democratize it. But now, people are like, instead of like, wow, I look up to that person, they're like, fuck that person,
right, right,
and that's crazy to me because I grew up, you know, loving watching people and being like, yo, how can I learn. So now, I don't know how you guys feel, but that's how I feel. I feel a lot of people are like, fucking me, my turn.
Yeah, people are building careers out of being haters, pretty much.
Yeah, like that's a whole... that those guys probably have a YouTube channel now, probably, and they're probably doing pretty well. I mean, honestly. See, like, what you're talking about, the bluntness, that's something you see in... I don't see that much in real life. Like, that was weird, because they were just slamming you in person. You see that in, like, Twitter replies or, like, comments, because there's
that disconnect. I know, I give them credit for that.
Yeah, there's that disconnect there where you're just, like, you're not actually talking to a person. You're just... you're writing a note that you're gonna... that you know they're gonna read, and it's very, like, shut off, and you're, like, kind of hiding behind something. But they're, like, straight up just saying fuck you to your face.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't think that happens nowadays.
No, I haven't really. I haven't had that had to happen. I haven't even had a heckler in the audience be like, "You suck." I've yet to have that. It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah,
I have, like, you've made heckles.
It's that the "you suck" thing is not. It's more like the hacky version of what we think heckling is. But like, you get like, I've had this like, well, you know, something, something. Well, if it was funny, you know, the audience will go, woo. And then you decide. I mean, that's what the whole point of the movie is, that the live heckling are the bravest and they're actually the coolest. And then it started going into critics and online. And now it's just, I've gotten used to it. Making that movie was very cathartic for me.
Yeah.
Because I had to realize what it is. Because I would work on stuff, man, 8 months, a year. Let's just say you do a movie, right? You do a movie, and it's like from writing it to getting it made, it's like a year and a half process, starting and doing all the press. You're completely, your cells of your body, you've traveled the country, sometimes overseas, to promote something. And it comes out the first weekend, and like reviews might be just shit. And then it goes away. On Friday, it comes out, and by Saturday morning, it could be gone.
Yeah.
And people wonder why the business is so tough, because you're just like, oh my God, like fucking. It's like imagining like somebody like working at like, I don't know, let's say Domino's, and like they've got their store and they built it up, and it's like they're finally the manager of it, and the place is humming smoothly and it's great, and then it opens the next day and it just burns.
Yeah.
That's how it is, like with a creative endeavor, whether it's an album or. A movie. So it's that's why our business gets intense.
Yeah, we have a buddy. Do you know Jason Nash?
I know him. I don't know him that well, but I know him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's put out two movies with the same experience, just putting so much time and effort into it. Brandon co-wrote and co-starred in one of them.
But Jason was, and I don't want to say this in a ignorant way, but Jason was, he was an actor. He is an actor.
Yeah.
But he was doing like what I call mainstream. I remember seeing, I think I worked with him. Or he might have been on my show, or he came on like the Jamie King Experiment. But now he's a huge YouTuber, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a huge, but he still is doing what I call mainstream stuff, or it's just doing YouTube.
He's pretty much just doing YouTube, right?
He's mainly doing YouTube. Yeah, he doesn't do anything else, really.
He gave up. Well, he didn't give up, but after his second movie failure, I guess.
Yeah.
He
was like, What was his second movie?
It was called FML. It was a movie. Well, we made it back in 2016, and it was the same process where he wrote it. I came in and helped him do rewrites, and then we tried to get investors, and we got investors, this emotional experience, and then we had to film it. We went to bumfuck nowhere to film it, and like we doing all the press, exactly what you just said, and then like we go to the premiere, and then they're like, yeah, about like 700 people downloaded it or something like that, like the first like opening weekend of it or whatever, because it was a digital release. It didn't go in theaters. So we were like, fuck. And this was all, this was also with not only our promotion, but all, we had a bunch of social media influencers in it, and they were promoted it. All of them did their job. They were all like, we all asked them, please promote it. These are people with millions of followers, millions, and they all promoted it, and it didn't, I don't know. It was just such a, I don't know. It was that experience that you just said of like something you really like hold true to your heart just gets shattered, or just doesn't perform well or whatever. It's like you said, but it's like having, it's like carrying a baby for 9 months and then they like take it out and like throw it to like an alligator or something. Like it's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough example, but yeah.
That, yeah, I know. That's a tough example.
That was a little, but yeah, it is.
I liked your Domino's example more.
It's like having a stillborn child. Now imagine doing that, but having like a premiere at the Man's Chinese. And then the next day.
Yeah. Fuck.
It's fucking like.
Yeah.
It's all, I mean, it's the same with the album I did. You know, you guys appreciate you saying the album, and I put probably a year into this album, and I had great producers, and we had really good beats, and it was funny, and people were like, is it funny? Or is it good? Is it funny? And I was like, no, just go with it. You know, like early, I'm not saying Eminem at any means, but like early Eminem was funny and good. You know, The Lonely Island is funny, but they're good.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, you know, Threw It on the Ground. Like, that shit has got a good beat. So it's like, why does it have to be? The problem is when people categorize the shit. So, and that fucking took a dump. So it's like, I've had things that really work. And then I've had things that some things I've really put my time and effort into. And they haven't worked, and they sometimes really worked. But it's just after enough of them, it's just like, you just take a minute, and just like, ugh. And it's not so much, you know what I think? It's one thing and one thing only for me, I believe. Marketing.
Marketing.
That's where I feel I'm at. I was talking to this girl last night, like 4 in the morning.
Oh,
my
shit.
My digital lady. And I'm like, I just need fucking marketing. And she's like, that's all you need. That's it. And that's it. That's what I believe, and I believe that, you know, very rarely do you see good and successful together. It happens.
Right.
But a lot of stuff sometimes is just the most marketed.
That reminds me of, I just thought of the Black Eyed Peas. Remember when they were huge?
Humongous.
Like, out of nowhere? It almost seemed like the industry was like, all right, Black Eyed Peas are next.
Yes.
That's bizarre. I think that has to do with marketing, because they came out of fucking nowhere. Also, when 50 Cent, he's a great rapper.
He had great songs, though.
He did. But all of a sudden, it was like, 50 Cent is now the star.
I mean, he came out of nowhere, though. He got shot 9 times. And
that was cool.
Yeah. That probably helped him out. That was good marketing.
I just heard you on Theo Von's podcast.
Yes.
And you remind me of it, because you said, like, I've been checked, man. So what do you mean by that? You were talking about, like, you're hitting the stand-up scene hard.
Yeah, I mean, what I've been checked in my career. What I mean is, it's like, I'll try to give you a simple answer, is that I came out, I struggled for a while, for about 6 years. Then I started getting success for about 4 years. I was really busy from like 95 to 2000, very busy, being in other people's movies and being in really good movies. And then around 2001, I started getting co-stars, or, you know, turning down stuff. Like, you know, I got an offer to be in the movie Tomcats. I didn't do that.
I saw that.
A couple of those, like, movies. And that's when I started making Malibus, and I started making, you know, Harold and Kumar. I got a little part in Son of the Mask and different stuff. And then I had my own TV show on MTV. And
was that...
I was in 2006 was with Blowing Up. It was going to be like a Robin Big before Robin Big.
Yeah.
And they premiered the same night as like Steve Nash did Triple Overtime in the playoffs.
Oh.
And then like the show after us was The Hills that debuted.
Yeah.
Which show do you remember? So it's like
still of The Hills.
So it's like I did that, then I did a movie Kicking It Old School, and then I did one of Amazon's first pilots, and it was one of the highest rated, didn't get picked up. I've done like, so what I'm saying is I've had a lot of success.
Yeah.
And then I've had a lot of what he would say alligator babies. And it's at one point you just sit there and you're just sitting at the 101 cafe and you're like, fuck it, you know, you're just like, and your ego gets completely decimated, which is good. You know what I mean? Like, you come out, you're doing this stuff, so it's like I think I can do this. I think I can do this. And people are validating you slowly. You're like, I can do this. You said, like, just doing stand-up, like, when you get one or two laughs, you're like, I am on the right path.
And then
you're like, and then you start getting it. And then you go, and you're like, I can do this. And then you're like, bam. And then it's like Will Ferrell, you know, as like comedy guys and different people. And then you're like on the next, you know, farm team, you think you're gonna be the next one, you know, and you're like, I'm close, you know, and then boom, you know, like you bomb, you have a bomb movie or a canceled TV show or stuff, so you get checked, and then you have to start there's a point where no one wants to see you, so this is like you're known, you're an entity, and then they're like, yeah, well, how about Jimmy Cannon? You're like, no,
right,
like,
right,
how about no. Like, they won't, because they have such a vision of you.
Yeah.
So then you have to slowly go in and start licking the taint again.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to have your, where you've made millions of dollars and you've started stuff, not bragging, but but you literally go in and you audition for, you know, the third lead in a pilot. And you're like, okay, I have to do this. And you're in the waiting room and you're not, it's part of the process, but I already had done that.
Right, right.
And then you don't get that, or you have people going, right. So once you go through all that and you get checked, you get truly humbled. And you know you're good, but you just give over to the process. And that's what I mean by being checked.
Gotcha. And you've been hitting the stand-up scene wicked hard lately.
Wicked hard.
Wicked. Are you... I heard on Theo's podcast you've been on the road for years, but just recently started going to the LA clubs. Is that right?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I was doing just... I'm going to give you another long answer. But like when I first started comedy in the 90s, it was like I was acting, I was doing sketch and improv shit, and it was like, you know, like, I don't know, you're like, I see you're a lot like me, and you have a lot of energy, and you're like, what else can I do? You know, and it's like, so you fucking start doing stand-up, right? Mm-hmm. And then I started getting good at stand-up, but I was doing a lot of open mics, but I was able, an agent saw me, and that's how I got commercials, and boom, boom, boom. And then right away, once I started I only had about 20 minutes. And then around the late 90s, and I was doing a little bit here and there. And then late 90s, I got an agent, and she started sending me out to colleges.
Sweet.
And I would start doing, like, 20-minute sets in between, like, bigger comedians, like Bob Saget or, you know, Craig Shoemaker. They used to let me open for them. And so I did 20 for a while for big names. And then colleges would book me because they would know me from the movies, and I would do, like, a half-hour lunch show.
Nice. Oh, wow, lunch shows.
And I started doing a lot of colleges. Then I hosted stuff for corporates. I did Intel. I did Skechers.
It's good money, right?
Amazing. So I was just making a lot of money going to, you know, different conventions, video games and stuff, and just hosting stuff. So I had about a half an hour or 35 minutes, and then I started getting better. And then you would do a set in town here, a set in town there, but if you're in movies, if you're in TV... It was like you town was where you got hot to make a name to then go and crush it around the country.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would go overseas. I played festivals. But now, in about 2015, the whole town changed with Netflix and podcasts. Yeah. And I've talked to people that, are in their 70s who are comedians, and they're like, this is the hottest comedy's ever been.
Crazy.
And I was working with a woman named Melissa who opens for me a lot, and she's like, come to the store and do a show. My friend wants you to do a show. And then I did his show. And then I would only show as I would do sometimes for Skylar's. Skylar was always doing shows. And so I would do that. And I just feel like it was about 2 years ago, and I met people like you, and I met people like Vinnie Fazzolin, and I met Melissa McQueen, I've met, Jody Miller, and everyone was like, just come to a spot. And so I just think it kind of organically happened that comedy just got red hot. So that's why I wasn't just on the road, but there was no reason to do town. Town was quiet. I don't know how long you've been doing it in here, but people say town got hot 3 years ago. But town was like, there were times when those clubs weren't that busy. Do you agree?
When I first moved here 4 years ago,
here 4 years. Jesus.
Yeah. It was right
with Virgin Meat.
I know.
Alligator Baby Meat.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It was just when the store got the new management, new booker.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to the store and just like go and hang out in the OR. When there was room to sit, just watch comedians. I'd even like take breaks. Like, all right, I'm gonna go sit down for a while in the OR.
You would like put a shift in.
Yeah. I would see comedians, open micers, sleeping in the back of the OR. Cause like, and just to have it, using it as shelter, literally like shelter.
Wow. That was 4 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it was busy, but it wasn't sold out every night like it is now. So now, I go to the store just to hang out on the patio. Sometimes drink too much, as you saw me.
Oh my God, you did. I go, bro, maybe you open for me one time. You go,
awesome.
Ruin your shot. Your one shot.
No, he was like, he was standing in the corner.
Yeah.
Facing the wall. Do you remember that?
No.
You were talking to like one of the big heads at the store, and you were like, in the corner.
Oh, fucking shit.
You're fine. But go ahead.
Fuck.
Made a fool of yourself.
The next day, you texted me. I'm like, hey, I'll get some gigs for you. So I was like, sweet. This text come out of nowhere. Then I saw you at the improv. I was like, oh, I saw you. You're like, I got some gigs for you. I saw you on Friday. You don't remember because you were fired up. I was like, fuck. Jamie was there?
You were fired up.
Yeah, it was
But so you're saying it got hot around 3 years ago, too.
Yeah, for sure. Now I can't even get shelter at the Comedy Store.
It is so... I forget what I was going to say. I was talking to a guy, and I forget his name, and but he's hilarious. And I was talking to him and Vinnie Fazzolini. and we were talking, and this guy made a really good point. He said that, when you started comedy, it wasn't as cool. And I've never seen so many good-looking people in comedy. men and women.
Yeah.
There's a ton of, but there's so many hot women now. I'm like, what? And I understand the Instagram followers and people can, use that base. And hey, man, it's go for it. I think everybody's go for it, whatever they want. But he was like, when you started, it was like all archetypes. And this guy was so true. It's like, lesbian in a vest, kooky white guy, ghetto black guy,
Right.
Whatever. And it was like all archetypes. But now it's just like gorgeous Instagram model. Yeah, another gorgeous Instagram. Studly young guy.
Right.
Yeah. And it's young. There's so many young. I don't know if it wasn't like that.
No,
it was like
it wasn't cool.
It was freak show. I mean, I've always loved comedy and thought it was cool, but like music and rap and grunge, they always had the young, that was where you did heroin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying the comedy is so fucking cool and young. I'm fine where I'm at. I just wish I was like 31.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 34.
Yeah, but it's a good time then. Because it's just so fucking, it's insane. It's like the new rock and roll.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. I'll be a headliner, 5 years,
How do you know? You might be earlier.
Could be, yeah. Will the comedy bubble have burst? Is it going to be uncool again in, five? How long is comedy going to be so cool and hot? Any predictions?
That's a great question.
I think it's as long as things are bad. That's really what I think. I think that comedy's huge right now because things are really not good in the country. I think that's why people need that, like, like a take a breath. Yeah. And I think that it's, as long as it stays bad, you'll be good. All that's right. My genuine belief. Sweet. I think. I mean, I don't know. Like, when was, when, because you said 2006, right? That's when comedy wasn't as huge. Like, no, like no. As it is now.
No, what I'm saying, I don't, I'm saying comedy in town got massive around 2015, meaning the clubs started getting busy every night. Mm-hmm. And I started coming around 2016. And between Netflix streaming, podcast, comedy, the community of, like, the tentacles. Like, I feel like this person does this podcast, this person does this set. So it's a huge intertwined community. And that is bigger than it's ever been. And in the 80s, when comedy got big, when it came out of, like, the little coffee houses and into every town had a comedy club, that was the first boom. This is the second boom with streaming. Do I know when it's going to end? Here's a great article. I sent it to you. I don't know. It can't. I guess it can't last forever. I'm loving it. I think like we're right now. I still think it's not even in the middle yet. I think it's still not even hit its apex. So I don't know. I can't tell you, but I know that more and more people are building followings, and like Aziz Ansari is playing. He just played the Punchline in Philly, and I'm going there in like 3 weeks, and I'm like trying to sell my 4 shows. He sold out 9 shows with just his amazing online presence and his name, and he probably picked to do the shows like a day or two before, and that's just a new thing the last couple of years, having that ability to
self-promote.
Self-promote, but having his fans are so loyal and love him so much that they follow him and they know he's working on new stuff. So there's a lot of, not a lot, but there's definitely more comedians than I remember that can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there was a guy last night at the Greek, Charlie Puth. I know a couple of his songs. You know who he is?
I know his name.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
He fucking sold out the Greek, like 7,000 seats. So what I'm saying is you can develop, he's big though, but you can develop, I think we're all cultivating our audiences. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think that as long as you can stay with your audience, it will be big. I have no idea though. I can't tell you. I don't know. I hope it doesn't end, but I guess you're right. Now you just kind of bum me out.
Because I do think like, oh, when I'm a headliner, I'll just be a straight white male headliner and comedy won't be popular anymore and I'll just feed myself to an alligator or something.
Transition.
Oh, man.
Transition into an alligator.
I didn't know that alligator analogy would hit you so hard.
That alligator. Well, it was weird. You're like, it was like having a baby.
Brandon's got a dark mind.
Yeah.
Circle, circle, dot, dot. I got my cootie.
Hey, guys. Just a quick interjection here. Want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by RX Bar. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar. Now, what does that mean? It means their bars are made with real whole ingredients. They're so transparent about it that they list their ingredients on the front of the package, as opposed to other companies who will list a long, long list of all their ingredients on the back where they try to like hide it. Well, with RX Bar, it's super simple, super basic, and super good for you. Okay. RX bars are great for a number of occasions, like breakfast on the go, or a little snack at the office to push you through your 3 p.m. slump, or throw it in your bag on the plane, right? It's very easy. Toss it in your backpack for a bike ride or a hike, or a pre or post workout snack. I've been using it as a post-workout snack, because certain bars are loaded with protein, healthy protein, and that's what builds my muscles. And if you've seen me lately, you know that I'm extremely muscular now. And it's in part with help due to RX Bar. That's my sales voice. RX bars come in 14 delicious varieties. I'm talking mango, pineapple, chocolate, hazelnut, peanut butter, and berries, chocolate, sea salt, coconut chocolate, mixed berry, blueberry, maple, sea salt. Oh, so much more. I gotta say, as basic as it sounds, my favorite is the blueberry. Now, they sent me a box of this stuff, and holy snap, they are really, really delicious. I even DM'd RX Bar as a fan, like fanboying, like, I love your product. It's great. I love blueberry the most. Guys, they are really, really really delicious. My favorite part is probably the texture. It's like chewy, but then with some crunch in there every once in a while. And if you do one of the chocolate ones, it's chewy, crunchy, salty, and then sometimes the chocolate melts inside and it like, I don't know, like gushes out a little bit. Ooh, wee! It is a healthy snack that you can feel good about, okay? It turns out real food ingredients actually taste really good. RX bars are gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free. That means if you're on some type of diet where you can only eat like one thing, guess what? That's the RX bar, pretty much. It's great for a lot of different diets and trends and stuff like that, but what you really got to do is just stick with the basics, and that's why I love RX bars, because it's so simple and strangely delicious. I don't know how something healthy can be this good, but it felt like I was cheating when really I was actually sticking to my diet. And I like to rebel every once in a while, but RX bar gives you the feeling that you're rebelling, but actually you're staying healthy. And they recently debuted their RX nut butter, which contains a few simple and similar ingredients like egg whites, fruits, and nuts. And each simple serve packet contains delicious creamy nut butter with 9 grams of high quality protein. It's squeezable and spreadable, y'all, and pairs great with fruit, rice cakes, pretzels, or straight out of the pouch. Pretzels, that's a new thing. That's a new product I just invented. RX nut butter goes great on pretzels. For 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/dad and enter promo code DAD at checkout. To the floor, let's get raw.
Okay, give me some more. Dude, speaking of darkness, I usually check Twitter just to see how much the world is falling apart and celebrity deaths. Aretha Franklin.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Gone. Man. She wasn't like a big part of my life, but legend for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Aretha song, dude?
What, that one where she says the letters.
Ah, respect.
Ari.
That one.
Can you not? Oh, I can't sing it?
No, I was kidding.
Oh, okay.
Everyone knows that song.
But yeah.
That RESPECT song.
Yeah, dude, that's like one of our last icons.
She is like historic.
No, she's got so many hits.
Mm. Fucking
natural woman.
What kind of music are you into?
Let me guess. I always answer hip-hop. That, you know, question with, I'm not in sixth grade.
Okay. No,
hey, what's your favorite food? Hey, you have a favorite color? No, like, I'm sorry.
Wow. Do you know what? I'm not opening for you.
Yeah, oh, shit. No, I like everything. I do. It depends on what mood I am. I'm sorry. Was that too harsh?
No, I don't.
Hey, what's your favorite? No, I like...
I'll answer.
I like everything but country and western, but...
So I'm hacky.
But I'm starting to like that. No, but I don't know. I don't have a favorite of everything.
All right.
They're moody.
Next question. What's your favorite animal? I went on a date with a girl. I didn't know this, but she was 19. I thought she was...
Jesus.
I'm 30. This was when I was 32. God damn it. I didn't know she was 19. Found out she was 19 at her lunch date.
How old did you think she was? 21?
21. Yeah.
Well, did you check the ID?
I met her at a bar. She was like,
oh, that's fucking fishy, bro.
Yeah, that is fishy.
That's not your fault. I call you. Flag on that play.
Yeah. And
what bar? I mean, what part of town? You don't have to blow the bar up.
It was, it was a comedy club. Anyways, we get down, we go on a lunch date. Those are the worst dates. Lunch? The fuck?
Yeah, you ain't getting nothing.
Yeah, is that why you're upset? There's no way we're going to fuck after your salad.
Right? And then she...
You ain't giving it up over kale.
She starts asking me questions like that. Like, she asked me what my favorite color was, and then he asked me what my favorite animal was, and I was like, I can't do this.
Really?
Asked me what my favorite animal was, and I replied, dolphin, because they're the smartest. But she thought it was like a little girl answer. Like, it's a little girl question.
Yeah, it was a little girl question. So I kind of little girled you there. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Wait a minute. So she's like, what's your favorite animal?
Yeah. And I wanted to fucking disappear at that moment.
She smoking hot?
She's hot. Yeah.
Okay.
But was she smoking dumb?
Not dumb, just young.
Smoking brain cells.
Dumb, young, full of cum.
full of my cum.
Oh, man.
Jesus, God, please don't say that. Please don't. You can't say jokes like this. This is going to come back and get you.
Oh, we're finished. We're yeah. done. I already know. I've made this, like, declaration in my head. Like, I'm done because of I've been online for...
I wasn't on that date.
Jamie,
you were online for so long. You've done too much stuff.
Well, no, I mean, like, I haven't even done things that are technically, or said things that are technically wrong. But it's just like now things can be taken out of context. So I just know that there's going to be something that just like comes back up.
Hell yeah!
I don't know what it is.
I sometimes think of like my texts with you, and Vincent. Texts with good buddies. We say the worst things possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think like, wow, if anyone like found these and like posted them.
Yeah.
I'd be done.
Oh, yeah. I don't even do that now.
Really? Text. Really?
You know what I do?
I was thinking that yesterday.
I go to WhatsApp, which I still don't trust. Well, there's a good article I can send you about how the NSA completely backdoors all of our information.
Please send me that.
So
I can go down the rabbit hole, paranoia.
So just, you know, and people won't want to believe this, but that the government is in cahoots with the top five companies, Apple, Microsoft, and they have to be Apple, and they have back doors so they can watch us, right? Mm-hmm. And they can say it's for terrorism, whatever. Right. The big deal, the big theory is, and people say conspiracy theory, which I hate because it's like, why does it have to be conspiracy? Why can't it just be a theory? Is that it's all money. So they can watch Ryan Dune, see his habits, see what it is. You ever like talk about something, honest to God, and you get an ad on your computer?
Oh, yeah.
Like talking.
Yeah.
That's because fucking your shit's listening to you.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're like, well, who gives a fuck? It's Ryan Dune. Or people, I'm like, who gives a fuck? It's just me, right, Jamie Kane. But once you get popular,
right,
and you will.
Thanks, man.
I've seen your Tom Brady joke. It is hilarious.
Oh, thanks, dude.
And you... They're not gonna go, okay, let's fucking pull up that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dating a 19-year-old.
Right.
Loves dolphins. So that's my paranoia, but I read a lot of blogs on this shit. I believe it.
They're listening for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
I'm gonna get
for sure they've even confirmed that.
But the fucked up thing is that you and him joking around, me too.
Yeah.
They could take that shit and fuck you up. Mm-hmm. So now I don't text anything. I know it sounds terrible that I don't want to be seen because I text like I would see in public. And that means I'm a boring texter. But it's fucking, I believe everything is going to the cloud.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you did send me a dick pic one night, which is weird.
It was balls.
A ball pic.
It was a bat wing.
That should be a thing.
Ball picks.
Ball picks.
Send me ball picks.
No, we were comparing heads. Caps.
Caps, yeah.
Cap on cap.
Yeah, when I first met Jamie, it was in the bathroom of the Improv, looking at his dick, and I was like, nice head, bro.
You were like, what? No, I looked up. You were like, what are you working with?
Yeah. You were like, come see. And I was like, solid piece, bro.
Appreciate that.
And then I showed you my micropenis.
It was beautiful. It was red.
He was all irritated and red.
It's like an abstract painting.
But I'm gonna get ads for micro penises and 19-year-olds now from talking about this shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I say the worst things to my friends.
Yeah.
And we say bad things on this podcast, but we're keeping it super clean for you.
Yeah.
You know why?
The cleanest.
Doesn't have to be clean. We can just talk about ideas. We can talk about that. Dude, I'm telling you guys right fucking now. I'm telling you right fucking now. I'm not being a pussy. The fucking world, man. They are fucking... People are losing jobs. They are... Everything. They're going back to shit that people said in the 80s on a talk show and being like, what did you mean there? I mean, we are a documented society. If you think it's only going to get worse. It's intense.
I feel like it might get better because everyone's just
over it.
Yeah, like the Chris Hardwick thing. God, here we go. Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I won't get too deep. But like now he's got his job back. Yes. I feel like people are starting to be like, all right, not everyone is telling the whole truth. Some people are crazy. Let's not attack everybody right away. Like the Aziz Ansari article, that should have never been written. You don't have to comment on that.
I'm actually fucking scared to comment on shit like that. I talk about shit to people online and like, you know, doing podcasts and stuff, but it's like I just look at it like this. Like, I'm the least person that can talk right now because I'm a fucking white male in my 40s. And that just happens to be my skin suit.
Right,
and
yeah.
Guess what you two are? On your way. The only guy who's winning right now is our Asian engineer.
Why do you think we hired him?
Just kidding.
But are you Asian, bro?
Half Taiwanese,
okay, but I was see, that's ignorant white guy.
You're going down.
But it's like it's literally like people don't want to fucking hear from us.
I know.
And it's like, yo, man, what the fuck did you say? And there is true anger, and I get it. I understand it. I do this joke where I say any minority or a person who's oppressed of any group should have the right to walk up to any white person at any time and just go, hey. Fuck you! And then if you're a cool white person, you're like, yeah, sorry about that. But it's like, it's where we're at, and I don't know, man. It's people, and people have told me, it's like, why do you feel threatened? And they go, and I say, I don't. I just feel like it's different. And they go, maybe because your norm was never the norm, and now the new norm will be the norm. Does that make sense? So it's like, it's basically white.
So creepy.
It's just basically like white privilege. It's basically like you wake up and you just think, hey, you get pulled over. You know, you're going to get out of a ticket. You're not going to get. And it is true. It's like, I really have lived a great life. So now if I'm going to be, it's like we're Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places. You know, if we're going to start brushing up against things that are tough, then it's like, we'll just get used to it. And so far it's been fine, but I do feel the aggression, and it's you know, I'm just the, I don't know what I'm saying. The line of normalcy, what you're used to, doesn't mean it's normal. That's what people are telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense,
it does. I'm thankful that I have a girlfriend right now.
Smart. Good play.
Smart. Because it's hard out there. Brandon's single.
Yeah.
You're going to go to jail soon, probably.
Wait, for what? I'm confused.
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck? For what?
I'm JK, but like, I don't know. It's tough to hit on girls these days.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not. You just have to not be a fucking creep. Everyone thinks it's so hard. It's not hard. You just don't have to. You don't be a creep.
So
just,
what do you do? What's your...
Dude, you don't hit on them.
Yeah, you don't hit on them.
But I know I
that's already weird. They could take that the wrong way. He hit on me. Hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
No, I mean, actually, I've hit on like very subtly at parties.
Look at the way you said it.
So, even the voice is aggressive.
How do you hit on a girl? By the way, that was a thing back then. The guy let it go. Yo, you hit that?
Yeah.
Yo, did you smash?
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's aggressive.
Crushing. Can't say that. Yo, you crushed? Dude, I crushed.
Dude, I crushed puss. I used to love saying that.
Wait, what did you say?
Crushed puss. Got to put that back in
my act. Demolished. Wait, how do you do it, dude?
Well, how do I? Well, I mean, in person? I mean, just. Well, I'm from the dating.
Bro, what did you used to do? Just say it. You're supposed to say it.
Crushed puss.
No, but how did you hit? You're a young lad, good-looking kid, great head of hair.
Mm.
So I would think that, you know, you had a good vine. You got a 1.2 or so right there. That's a panty dropper.
Yeah.
He's 1.2 on the gram.
Make him wet like Niagara.
So my question is, don't they just don't know who you are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't they know who I am? Is that what you're saying?
This shit got real ambidextrous. Look at me like this.
Sexy.
No. What happens?
They don't just like flock to you because you have a following. A lot of people don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. A lot. So like, usually it's just what am I? I do the fifth grade question when this is okay. So this is on an app. I'm being serious. On an app, if I'm the one that has to initiate, I just say, "Hey, what's your favorite dog?" That's what I say. And then they respond, and then that gets it going. And then that's it.
There you go.
And then you're in.
So that's your hit.
Yeah.
And then you crush.
What's your favorite dog?
Yeah. It's so stupid, isn't it? It's fucking dumb.
Like, Benji?
You have a dog? I have a little pincher. Oh,
no, I know.
My God, they're so funny. My fucking pussy.
How does it
Dude, have you been reading the messages? That's exactly what they say.
It's just...
My pussy. Oh, my God. My pussy's so wet.
So, dude, that's crazy.
But it works.
But do you do stand-up?
No.
Do you sing?
No.
Do you rap?
No.
Do you direct?
Yes.
Yes. He's a writer.
Okay, so that's a, you know, I hate to say it.
It's a panty dropper.
You could have some auditions.
Terrible. Casting couch, dude.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I could tell you something that's, well, I'm not even going to go there, but.
Fuck. You can't do that.
But I would, so I, why do you have to hit on women?
Why do I have to hit on women? Because if I didn't, then they wouldn't know that I was attracted to them. I think.
I just don't feel you have to hit. I think you can just talk to them, and I think they'll grab it.
No, no, no. There's no, I mean, I've never understood that hitting, like, hitting on women thing.
Like, what's up, girl?
Yeah, you don't do that. You just start talking, and then you just kind of feel out the conversation. And if they're not out of the conversation within 3 minutes, then something's there, maybe.
Wait, it's got to be, oh, I don't know if this is going to be a good part, but I'm on the plane the other day. I'm on Southwest.
Sorry.
I know these people are like, I'm in front of my jet. I always tell celebrities that's bad for the environment.
For what?
The environment. Oh, one person on a jet. So I'm on flying from San Francisco, and these two, there was a big music festival there this weekend called Outside Lands. And it was competing with me.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it was like, it's like their Coachella. And these two like Coachella girls got on, and they were really cute. And some dude gets on, your generation, but a dude, it's like the hair is like flipped and the shit's shaved nice. And he was like, and he sat and he came up and he was like a little metro, but a little over. He's like, you guys mind? And I took there and they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah. And it was like the whole time they were talking to him. And they were like, and I got like, sorry, like, because they grew up in like the valley, and like, they grew up in Calabasas, and it was like, they were just going off, right? Uh-huh. He goes to the bathroom, and this girl's like, shh, get his number. He's so fucking hot. Like, and I was listening to him, and like, oh my God, he's so cute. He's like, he want your number? No, I didn't care. Get his number. We'll invite him out. We'll take him to bungalow, you know, bungalow in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
We'll go there. We'll get drunk. And I was like, these girls were plotting to get this guy.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's good. You know, like let them, like a couple of 23-year-olds, I think they were.
Yeah.
So that's, they were thirsty for it. So I think if you can, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I don't, if I see a girl walking down the street, I walk down. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Oh, I'm going to be there soon. Trust me. I'm headed down that road quick.
Yeah. I had a lady, I just did this movie. This is awesome. And I did this, it was in New Orleans, which is part of the world that hasn't hit critical mass yet, and I love New Orleans, but the shit that's going on out here hasn't hit there yet. And I was in the 70s, and I was wearing these tight ass jeans, and my dresser Scott, who's a real sweet guy, is like, they gonna accentuate you nice. And he had these jeans, and my fucking nuts are like fucking squished in this thing, and my ass. And this extra comes up to me, and she goes, your ass looks so delicious in those jeans.
Wow.
And this other girl goes, yeah, I love your ass. Like,
what the fuck?
Two women. And you know what I did? I said, are you on Facebook? No, I said, thank you. I mean, like, what? So, like, I had a lady come up to me at a show recently, grab my nuts and go, can I hold your nuts in this picture? Mm-hmm. This shit happens to me a lot. I don't say shit because, you know what? I fucking need the sale.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And you're trying to crush pud.
Yo, dude, what'd you do last night?
Crush pud. He likes it.
He likes it.
It's just so funny.
You're going to invite Jamie to a show and you're going to do nothing but that bit. And you're just going to hear him laughing in the background.
But, dude, the bit's going to be like how you can't say that anymore. How you used to like be able to go, yo, bro, I crush butt.
I like that, actually.
Now it's
that's the angle.
Now it's I seduced a respectable woman and I took her to my house and we read a book.
Now I have to say, may I please crush your puss? It's fucking ridiculous out here. No, no, keep.
Come on, give me a question. I love how you, like, plan this interview. You're like, again.
I fucking hate this guy.
I know.
Not.
Why'd we invite him?
I was going to ask you to open for me, but, let's see. Oh, I want to know what your plans are, because I hadn't seen you on the scene, then all of a sudden, you're everywhere.
But why do people say that? Like, was the scene thing real, like, did the scene get hot when I said it too? Don't you see everybody? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Am I the only, and this is a compliment to me and to you. Thank you for seeing me. But I feel like people are like, yo, bro, you came out of nowhere. It's like, really? Yo, you was in the ice, man. You thawed yourself out. Like,
yeah.
Don't you see everybody on the scene now that ever touched a microphone? From like a new comic to Chappelle and everyone in between.
Yeah.
I see everybody. I see Rob Schneider. I see Tom Green. I see new guys. I see Chappelle. I see Theo. I see Dean. I see
everybody. I have noticed Liza.
I have noticed. But isn't everyone out?
Yeah, I mean, like, David Spade started showing up, Rob Schneider. Those were notable, like, oh, hey, they're doing the clubs. You're one of them. It was noticeable. It was like, hey, Jamie Kennedy's on the scene, crushing stages.
I like the crush. I do appreciate that. I like it. Here's what happened. So I started coming back. So, like I said, I feel like comedy got hot, like... Before, if you would ask me to do your podcast, I would have been like, "What you download? Who are you? Call me publicist." And I just feel it's not like that anymore. I feel like it's the comedy. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but like about 8 years ago or 9 years ago, everything became Avenger-like, and so everything is consolidation. So I'll go back, and then we'll go back to comedy. Don't let me forget this. Okay. This is a fucked up, long ass point. So. It used to be when you audition, Disney had three. Let me tell you how the business changed. Let me tell you. Disney had three studios: Hollywood Pictures, Touchstone Pictures, Walt Disney Studios. Each studio would make about 25 movies a year. That's 75 movies from one studio. And so I would go out and read for like Meet the Deedles, Dude, Where's My Car? Or Herbie the Love Bug, all these different movies, right? And so they would have guys like you who are coming up. You might get second lead, you know, third lead.
That would be cool.
Now Disney only makes about 10 movies a year, and they're all like $250 million, right? So everything consolidated. And like as Disney has just bought Fox, everything is consolidated in entertainment. Like was like lesser companies to streamline. Mm-hmm. Same with movies. And I equate it to like the Avengers. All the Avengers were movie stars starring in their own movies. Then, you know, some big hits, some little hits. Put them all together to make one massive fucking hit. And that's how I feel our business is and comedy is and music is like... People are guest starring on music and rap, and the same with comedy. It's become this community where it was like, yo, I gotta go up tonight, I gotta kill, I gotta be the man. And it's like, you still wanna do that, but other people can kill because there's room for everybody, and the community is growing.
Because everyone's helping the boom.
Yeah, and it's like, yo, your ticket sales aren't going to affect my ticket sales because Ryan's fans are Ryan's fans and Jamie's fans are Jamie's fans. And as long as we're both not playing at 8 o'clock on the same night in the same city, they can enjoy us both and they can know how to get us. And so that's where I think it's different now, where before it was like more like one against the world. Now it's many. Mm-hmm. But what the fuck was your question? Oh, what am I going to do? So I'm doing this because I want to be, you know, I hate this term. I fucking hate this term. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I want a new special, but I hate the term relevant.
So do I. Yeah, we both
fucking hate it. And I don't want to say I want to be relevant again because it's not like I'm not relevant. And it's like not like I didn't do a show on NBC 2 years ago. Just no one saw that. Or I had another show on the CW 3 years ago. It's like, but I want a hit. Right. But it's like. Because relevant doesn't mean good. It just means you're there.
Right.
But it's like, oh, you got relevant. It's like, but I want to have a, I'm going to make a new special. That's why I started doing it.
Right.
And like I said, it was just a trial by error thing. Like, I met meeting people like you and doing awesome shows that I just was like, I can't turn it down. I'm in town. Why not do it? So that's I want to do a new special.
Sweet.
So that's what I'm working on, and I think I'm talking with the company actually last night, and I hopefully shoot it at the end of September.
Nice, oh, nice.
So and then see what happens.
It's been cool to watch because I've seen your stand up a lot over the past few months. It's been cool to watch your material grow.
It's been growing. Thank you.
Taking notes. I'm like, oh, he added that. I don't take actual notes, but
thank you.
But yeah, it's really good stuff, and I love you do comment on the Me Too stuff.
Yeah,
yoga pants.
Yeah. Is anyone else doing that?
Yoga pants?
Yeah.
No, I think you're the only one.
I've heard comedians talk about that. I love yoga pants.
But they don't do like my joke.
No. No.
I mean, I have to, right?
Yeah. I love your Me Too stuff.
I like the... That's
very good.
Are you allowed to... You know, you talk to a lot of women on the scene. Yes?
Yeah, respectfully.
Yeah, what a bitch bag. You talk to a lot of female comedians.
Uh-huh. Fuck them, too.
Stop.
I'm just kidding.
You talk to... Can't say that. See, can I...
I can say that.
No, you can't. The police will come.
The police.
You talk to a lot... He's just writing it down. You talk to a lot of young... His shows for America, and this is going to America, get a ton of beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
And not bad-looking men. And also great-looking female comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And you... When you talk to a lot of them, don't they find that some of the stuff, when we talk about the Me Too stuff, they're like, I know, it's a little.
Yeah.
They do say that. But they don't say the shit publicly.
Right.
Because they don't want to get in trouble.
I think
women have said that to me.
Every girl that I'm friends with has said, yeah, this is crazy, the Me Too thing. This is ridiculous. And they've also been like, I want a guy to hit on me. I want a guy to grab me and kiss me without asking.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. It's
grab me and kiss me without asking. Wow.
We had a guest.
Wow. That is such a foreign concept. Dude, that's like a fucking crime now, bro.
I know. And in the world where...
In the passion, if you feel that passionate moment.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the last time I did that. It was a few years ago.
And what happened?
It worked. It was an aggressive move, and it worked. I crushed your puss.
Now that's going in. Put that in.
Wait.
That's going in.
Can I? I'm scared to tell this story right now.
Do it.
I'm scared to tell the story, and we'll decide, but I feel like it'll show a line of where we are and where we were and where we are now, and we'll decide if we keep it or not.
Okay.
Because the fact that you just said that is interesting. So you went and you made out with a girl,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't give her, you didn't say, I'm going to kiss you now.
No.
And you just did it.
That's even creepier than...
But wait, I usually kind of like...
I'm going to kiss
like,
you now.
How many people in the world can say that? They don't announce the kiss.
I think most people don't.
Okay.
People don't. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's called assault now.
I know. It's crazy.
So you did it, you kissed her, and then it ended up in a crushed...
Puss. Right where you're sitting, actually.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. We should wrap this up soon.
Mm.
Just because I feel like a lot of racism boiling up in me. And as a straight white male.
He says things that you're not supposed to say. And that's what your brain operates like that. I get it.
Jamie, would you be more comfortable if when we edit this, we just completely censor everything that you said, and we also put a big black bar over you for the video?
That'd be amazing. And put my voice to a thing.
Yeah.
Like FBI informant.
That'd be great. That would actually be funny. If we let's do a segment. Can you put on that effect in post?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, just talk and we'll put that thing on you. So,
dude, so that'd be a great episode where you just say, Jamie Kennedy is so scared.
That'd be the promo.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We're moving on, you know, 2 tons a day.
Yeah, I'll bleep out your name. So, Jamie Kennedy, what's next for you?
I got this part. I'm trying to do a special. I can't do too much of it, but I got this movie. I got a part in Brad Pitt's new movie.
For real? Mm-hmm.
For real. No kidding.
Have you met? You've met?
I met BP.
Oh shit! What was that like?
Amazing.
It's another hour on this.
I can't go. I can't go down that rabbit hole on this podcast. Yeah. But it's gonna come out Christmas Day.
Nice.
It's called Ad Astra. I got a couple scenes in that.
Sweet.
And then I did this other movie called 1973, and then John Voight's the star.
Shot in New Orleans. Nah.
And that's coming out in like January. And then, I don't know, fucking pilot season's coming up. What can I tell you?
Yep, cool. Mm-hmm. And any stand-up, big tour, anything coming up?
I got Punchline, Philly in a couple weeks. I got Appleton, Wisconsin, Mohegan Sun. But I'd like to get this special shot and then hopefully build up my base so I can do bigger venues. And I just like to be able to do a show where I don't have to, like, do every single radio outlet.
Right. Right.
I like my fans, people who like me, to come and show up.
Well, this will help because this is the number one podcast in the world.
In the world.
Whole world.
It's the truth.
In the world. What number are you for real?
We're good. We're good. This will get like 30,000, at least 30,000 downloads.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Fuck yeah, dude. So everyone listening, go see Jamie in fucking Philly and wherever the fuck he just said. I wasn't
Appleton.
Listening.
And you're going to come and we're going to crush.
Puss.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'll come?
Maybe.
Is this?
Whoa, you just did that right there?
Yeah. Is this the official invite?
Oh, I got God. A baby. Well, now it's on tape, so.
Dude, is it cool if officially? I'm blacked out the whole time?
Yeah.
Dude, if you take me on the road, I'm going to be so obnoxious.
Dude.
I'm going to get you in trouble.
Bro, you were. You were.
It's embarrassing.
You were Walking Dead.
I know. There's no one home.
On Saturday night at the Comedy Store, hottest night of the week.
Yeah.
Packed patio.
Fuck.
Past shows. Everyone's there. Zombie.
I thought I would be okay because it was just for laughs. So I was like, no one's in town.
Yeah, but a lot of people were in town.
Fucking shit. I saw a comedian at an open mic a week later. The first thing he said to me was like, whoa, dude, you were fucked up last weekend. I was like, God damn it. Yeah. I don't like doing that. Vincent was in town. He made me do shots. I can't do shots. If I do shots, I'll black out. But anyways, yeah, it's official, guys. Jamie Kennedy's new opener.
Yeah. And we're going to crush.
All right. Jamie, thanks a lot, dude.
Thank you, guys.
This is very cool for me to have you.
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate you.
I'm a big fan.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you.
All right. Let's say I'm sorry, Dad, on three. Ready? What's the name of the podcast that you're on? You're on a podcast right now.
All
right. One, two, three.
Sorry, Dad. Oh, I should have did it. I'm sorry. So should we do it again?
Do you want to do it one more time? We're still rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
One, two, three.
I'm sorry, Dad. Bob said.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed that hour-long talk with Jamie Kennedy. Before I go, I need to give a shout-out to another sponsor here. This episode has also been brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. You heard me mention it before on a previous episode, but have you started doing Beachbody? It's an app that gives you quick workouts, hardcore workouts, and also some easy workouts. Basically, the whole app just makes working out easy for you, and I have been doing it, for real. I'm not making that up, and I challenge you to join me. I've been doing the T25 workout. It's my favorite. The trainer there is Sean T, and it doesn't require any extra equipment, and it's only 25 minutes a day. Sure, you don't have to do the whole 25. You can do 5 minutes of it if you want, just to get started. But I would encourage getting up off that couch and working your bod like I do, as you've been noticing because of my muscles, right? On our YouTube page, thanks. Beachbody On Demand has the best programs. They have over 700 workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio and to yoga and even dance workouts. They also offer nutrition help. Success doesn't just happen in the gym, so Beachbody On Demand has tools to help you make eating right easier. There are dozens of easy-to-follow meal plans and hundreds of delicious recipes on Beachbody On Demand. They are the best deal in fitness, because get a load of this. Our listeners can try Beachbody On Demand right now, absolutely free. What are you waiting for? Join the over 1 million people currently on Beachbody On Demand. Like I said, right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you just text DAD to 303030. Easy as that. Text DAD to 303030 and start your special free trial membership right away. You will get full access to this entire program for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Once again, just get out that phone and text DAD, D-A-D, to 303030. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Brandon and I both say, I'm sorry, Dad.